Do you believe that that would gain the support of very many other people or other organizations?
Mr. Chair, my name is Mike Dewey. I represent the Oregon Cattlemen's Association, Oregon Wheat Growers League. We do represent some other organizations, but we have not had an opportunity to interact and get a feeling for where they're coming from. We understand the dilemma that you have. Our concern as a farming organization is the same as yours. There are individuals that are taking advantage to a degree of the tax laws and of course the zoning laws. At the same time, it's a philosophical question that you have to ask yourself about zoning in the state of Oregon. We have been in this process, as long as I've been lobbying, we have been discussing this. What is a hobby farm, what isn't, from one session to the other. And I personally think it's time to make a decision. And any decision you make, there's going to be some inequity. There's no question about it. If you make it at 5,000, the person that makes 4,500 is going to complain. It's at 20 acres, the person that has 18 acres is going to complain. But I think at some point in time, you have to make the decision and live and stay with that decision. The organizations I represent can live with the 20 acres because, frankly, by and large, they are not in the business of farming. Now, these are the cattle producer and the wheat producer. If they have 20 acres, they've got to have substantially more acreage.
Let's see, and I think Representative McCracken's question dealt specifically with well and septic, so they could...
There's no question that if the well and septic tank were included, that they could support the legislation.
Okay. You essentially indicated that you represent the larger farm units, probably the full-time agricultural operations that produce presumably a family income. Probably don't have a whole lot of hobby farmers in either of those two organizations. There is that break-even point that was discussed, to where on some of the larger full-time operations it potentially could be a benefit to a majority of your members if in fact we went to the original bill. Have you analyzed that, and what's your reaction to that?
Mr. Chair, that's a good question. We oppose the original bill, and it's because there will be some benefit to some. In some other areas, there will not be a benefit. We supported it not on the financial ground, but we supported it on the philosophical grounds of zoning. And the people that I represent, when they sell a farm, the complete farm, the home is sold also. And that value isn't, the farm is the important thing. The home is not the important thing in terms of what the value of that ground is worth. You can't, in an EFU zone, in most cases, there are some cases I understand where you can do it, but you've got to be pretty good at it. You can't do the subdividing that one would perhaps want to do. And so the home goes with the farm, and so you from that standpoint we couldn't support the original bill 2232. And the other is that in most cases when you look at an office, the home is the office, and for that reason we think that land should be valued at its business value or its farming value. And so we can't support it, but we can support the 20 acres. And my concern is that we may be back here in two more years discussing that same sort of thing.
So rather than having an office in one room of the house or a couple of rooms of the house, people who are cattlemen or wheat league or sheep or whatever, they live in their office rather than do their office work in their home.
Mr. Chair, to a degree, I think you're correct. They do live in their office. If you look at if you go to a full-time farmer's operation, that house is their office. And it's not necessarily one room; it's four or five different rooms in terms.
Well, is the house their office, or is the office their house?
Mr. Chair, It's a little both.
Jim Traher?
Right. You're representing the, I think, what we all want to call the true farmer. No doubt about that. Would you help me with the few sales of true ranches and farms recently in relation to the value that those properties are on the tax rolls for? It's my opinion, and I'll express mine, you can tell me if I'm wrong, that even with the depressed market that we have today, that those properties that are selling for substantially more than what they're taxed for on the property tax rolls. Is that an accurate statement?
Mr. Chair, Representative Traher, I haven't seen any numbers. I had heard about the acreage sold in Douglas County from the Douglas County assessor that was substantially more than the value placed for tax purposes. I don't know because I haven't seen any figures. I've heard that sometimes it is more, not necessarily substantially more. I have trouble understanding that based on the market. The wheat industry is extremely depressed in the state of Oregon, as is the cattle industry. So if somebody's buying it, I guess we have to ask why they're buying. If they're buying it to raise sheep, cattle, or wheat or whatever, and they're going to pay substantially more than it's worth from the standpoint of what they can gain from it, I question that. If they're buying it for another purpose, it perhaps might be a speculative purpose. But in most cases, the speculation, for the people I represent, the speculation is a long ways down the road because they're very remote, rural-type areas.
Mr. Chairman, I think that covers a lot of the base because speculation is a long-term time down the road with EFU zoning because our present zoning pretty well tells us that land is going to stay in farm use, and that's what the intent of it is. But still, we see these sales, in my opinion, that are somewhat higher. Sure, farmland isn't worth $3,000 an acre anymore. It's only worth maybe $800. That's been a real reduction. We heard that testimony yesterday. But it's still only on the rolls for $300 or $400 per acre. And I think that part of that difference is, in fact, the home site, even though it's not severable, but we're looking at, you know, they're looking at buying a total large farming operation.
If I may, I remember, you know, very distinctly the testimony and the discussions we had when the original bill passed that provided for the farm use value on the home site. And particularly in the valley, there were examples of, we thought, values placed on a one-acre tract of land underneath the dwelling that was extremely high considering you couldn't sell it separately from the farm. I mean, it was, we thought, way out of proportion. The other question about the speculation is that somebody just has to look at what's the benefit down the road. I can farm it for a particular period of time, and I'm willing to pay the 10 years back taxes and all that because I can see that I'm going to have a substantial gain. That's why I think the zoning and the taxation are so intertwined here, is that we have to make very tough decisions. And this is, the county has to say, this is farmland. And we can't bow to the pressure to move it out because somebody says, well, I bought it for some other reason, or I think I want to put a supermarket or whatever. We have to be very strong about that.
Mr. Chair?
Chief Hossiger?
I understand there are crops that are grown in Douglas, Jackson, Josephine County, which might justify the kind of price.
So you represent cattlemen, people of the Wheat League, and marijuana growers?
I don't think so.
Jim Traher?
To put Representative Huska's fears at ease, most of that's grown on federal land.
Very good. Further questions for Mr. Dewey? Thanks very much.
Thanks.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Hugo?
We've all wrestled with this thing. There is no right or wrong solution to this thing, and it's not going to be black and white. In an attempt to move the thing along, I would move the amendments 2232.
dated 3/27 and labeled 2232-3.
Okay, let's see. I will accept the motion for purposes of discussion. Is there discussion?
Mr. Chairman.
Gene Trahern?
Well, Mr. Chairman, we've all, I think, heard all the debates and all the arguments we need to. Frankly, I think there's some very serious problems with those amendments. We heard some of them yesterday, and what happens when somebody's renting a house this year and it's qualified and next year it's not, and whether you collect the deferred taxes. Plus, it's terribly arbitrary to say 20 acres or the minimum zoning because in some counties, apparently here in the valley, and I didn't realize it, that could happen. There's not a minimum acreage on EFU land. In my county, you know, it's like 40. I know in some of the eastern counties, it's 160 and a whole lot of different things. And I think that we've heard from the valley folks who, in all their honest interest, don't really reflect some of the variances that there are across the state in EFU zoning and in types of farming practices and those kinds of things. I think the amendments don't really address the broad measure of the state. Plus, obviously, I feel that the original bill is a more equitable way to go because it doesn't draw arbitrary lines, which any way you draw lines are going to be arbitrary.
Further discussion, Representative Hostick?
I guess, I think that after looking at this for a long time, that the policy objective of this is probably achieved as well or maybe even better by the original bill, but it appears to me that the politics and the groups that have come forward and supported the amended version are, I think, reflective of a broader segment of society, and also that it is easier to explain to people what the amendments do rather than the original bill. So while I wouldn't object to the original bill in terms of achieving the policy objective, I think the amended version probably has some advantages to it from a political point of view, which I would be willing to support at this point to vote for the amendments. I think I could vote for either side, but on a political side, I think the amended version is a better vehicle to use to get at the issue. I just observed that this is hopefully one of the last pieces of fallout, maybe not. There's still others that are hanging around from when the law was changed in 1973, I believe it was, to institute land use planning. I think if we do institute the kind of changes in the taxation structure, we can look forward to another 10 years of fallout in this committee. And we might as well just get started, you know, prepared for that. As an example of the kind of problems we're going to be into.
Representative McCracken?
Well, Mr. Chair, I certainly support Representative Hostica's comments in the motion before us. But for the purpose of moving along, I will move to amend the motion to include an exemption for the well and septic tank.
Mr. Chairman. Representative McCracken, do you want to speak to the motion at this time?
Well, it's been discussed. I think it would gain additional support, but I'm not going to argue real long and hard for it.
Representative Scott?
I need to ask Representative McCracken to explain his motion, because even though I've heard what you've said, I'm not sure I understand exactly what you're saying as relates to the land under the house, for example.
Well and septic at farm value?
That's correct.
In addition to the tank?
It would be assuming that the well and the septic tank are really part of the home.
You would exempt it or include it?
Include it in the exemption.
Mr. Chairman.
Same scum?
From market value.
Let me ask questions. Would the land under the house be valued at farm value or market value?
Farm value.
Under your motion.
Farm value.
It would be under farm value. And then the well and the septic would also be
farm value.
Farm value.
But then would be subject to the amendments. For those ones that qualify.
Oh yes.
But then the amendments would be accepted as written, huh?
Right.
Representative Clory?
Well, I guess I'd like to ask now, too, about what do we mean, well, in Septic at farm value? I mean, are we basically saying that the $4,000 arbitrary figure is just taken on?
Okay.
So I was only a little bit confused by the response that said that the well and septic would be at farm value. I think basically it's possibly at no value.
Terry?
I wish I had some assessors. I'm pretty sure that would be the case. Former assessor. I would assume that the motion meant that the addition of the market value for the well and septic tank onto the land value would be eliminated, so that you would be in fact adding zero. Right. You're making no addition.
That's what
I think. That's right.
Okay.
That's right.
Now we're together.
That's right.
Yep.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Hostica.
And I want to make clear from Representative McCracken that would apply only to those properties which qualified under the test.
The amendment, provided by the amendments. Okay, let's see. We're supposed to be on the floor in 1 minute.
I'll accept it as a friendly amendment.
Let's take it as a separate amendment. That's okay. I'm not sure. In my own mind, that going through all of the complexities that we seem to be going through here with some of the problems that are in the amendments that we haven't resolved, whether we ought to try to get closure on those today. I guess in my own mind, I'd probably come to the same position that Representative Traherne's come to, that the simplest and most straightforward approach would be just to deal with the land under the home site. And if we were to deal with the land under the home site, these complex amendments would probably not be necessary, and certainly Representative McCracken's motion would not be necessary. And I think that that's a much simpler, much more straightforward way to deal with it. And would like to ask the committee to join Representative Traherne in analyzing very closely whether or not we might want to just fall back to the original bill.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Clory?
I agree.
Representative Burroughs?
I agree. I was not going to support Representative McCracken's motion, and I've been trying to decide between the amended bill or the original bill, and I'm not ready to vote on it today. And I'm not ready to, I wasn't going to support the Representative McCracken.
Well, we have a couple of options. One is to try to push forth to closure here this morning, or the second option is to withdraw all of the motions that have been made and just consider this an exercise in narrowing the parameters, so when we come back everybody's got a better idea of where the committee seems to be going.
I know exactly where I am, and I think that the purpose would be well served just by having a vote on my motion so I don't have to bring it up again.
I love your transparency, Representative. Representative Clory?
Well, given that, that's fine with me too, and I guess given that, I guess, to be honest, I could speak on both sides of this one, but I guess my feeling on the particular amendment we're talking about is that I happen to think that the value that is placed on those, on the well and septic, is very arbitrary. Unfortunately, I think everything about all of this is very arbitrary. It is probably totally unfair to put a $4,000 value on a well that in some cases may be $1,500, maybe $800, we heard as low as that, and maybe much higher than that. It seems to me that the reason for doing that is not to put an honest and fair value on it, is to try to bring some equity into this whole situation. So we can't look at it as whether or not they are getting shafted by this one particular thing. And so I guess because of that, you know, I could convince myself that it's okay to leave it on because it brings a little bit more truth and justice to the whole thing, or that we should take it off because it's unfair. I guess as a result of that, I'll just have to see how I vote. But I think that's what
I really think that I can't wait to see myself.
I only bring all that up because I think we should look at it a little bit more broadly than whether or not the well and septic is an arbitrary and capricious kind of a thing, or whether it fits into a bigger scheme.
Thank you for your advice.
In the overall scheme of things, if a farm
is a farm as defined by the amendment, by the amendment passed, it would be exempt. Property under the land, under the house, would be farm assessed.
Correct.
And that's the way it should be. Because we're, as we try to protect the land use planning process, what we want to do is protect farms. If it doesn't meet the test, the house should be at fair market value. And that's what the amendment does. The argument, or the question that I was putting forth to the assessor the other day was, what would be the net effect if we put the market value on the house and we deduct the water and sewer, or water and septic? It eases the blow.
Let's do this. Let's walk away from it today. We need to get excused if we're going to miss the floor. We need to be up there for the quorum. Let's get the spoons carrying it. Let's walk away from it, and we'll pick it up. Where we are. Would you like to vote on? You want to vote on your motion?
Yes.
Okay. Let's vote on the McCracken motion to amend Representative Hugo's motion to amend. Ms. Cholla, please call the roll on the motion. Representative Schoon first.
The motion is
to treat well and septic like the land under the home site.
Okay.
Cholla?
Representative Hugo?
Why me first?
We wanted to hear you.
Aye.
Your turn, McCracken.
Aye.
Schoon?
Aye.
Trahern?
No.
Clory?
No.
Hanlon? Hostica?
Aye.
Burroughs?
No.
Troop?
No, motion's defeated. We're adjourned.
All motions die when you're adjourned.
I think so.
Yeah.
There we stop.